Oops. Hey.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. What are we coaching on today, Missy? So, oh my God, your face. It doesn't look good. You can't go like.
So after camp, I hit Century Club. Mm-hmm. And I maintained Century Club for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And since then, I have not been following plans at first. And then I went from not following plans to not planning. And then I wrote myself like a recommitment letter, like you talked Wanda through at camp. I went through that whole thing, all my notes. And I was reading it every day. And then I just keep, and then I started not all going off plan. And then I just keep not making my commitments to myself.
Okay. And tell me how far away from Century Club you are. How many pounds have you gained?
I've gained 7 pounds.
Okay. So are you making that the end of the world?
No, I think the end of the world is how mean I'm being to myself.
So you are making it the end of the world. Being mean to myself is called the action from the thought of, oh no, something major has gone wrong.
Yeah. It's like the end of the world. I've had binging behaviors in the past and they've come back up like 2 years ago, like was my last binge. I've been binging, stuffing myself. I call it like napalming myself with sugar.
I'm going to just tell you right now that description is probably not helping the situation.
No.
Napalming. What if we just call it, I'm eating sugar.
Okay.
It's unplanned. That sounds way less intense.
Dramatic.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, one of the things that I know for sure that you're going to need to do just from the way that, I mean, you started off crying or almost crying.
Yeah, I'm good.
I wanted to pull the trigger real hard until I stopped you. And then your descriptors around it, honey, like, you, like, if you want to gain authority over it, you can't think that it has control over you right now.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. It doesn't have control over you. It only feels that way because you're describing things as napalming and like I used to be a binger and it's back and like all these things. It's like we need to get this down to a circumstance.
Okay.
7 pound gain is a circumstance. What else is the circumstances of this?
My to-do list at work is long.
Okay, that has nothing to do with the eating.
Okay.
Tell me how that, like, have you heard me talk about urges? Because what you're having is a resurgence of urges.
Yeah. No, I missed the class and I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Okay. Like, step one is you got to make the time for that.
Yeah.
Like, put that on that work to-do list. Just slide that booger right on in there. But here's the deal. Let's say that I called you. And I was like, Sarah, I know, like, I'm the queen, but I've got so much to do. There's just so many things going on. What's your best advice? What do you think I should do with my to-do list?
Just pick one thing and do it.
Yeah. Would you say like, you need to go eat like a sugar napalm. You should go binge.
No.
Right. But your brain is telling you that's what you're supposed to do. And you're describing it as if that to-do list is the reason why you're doing it. At some point you've had a to-do list and you ate and felt better and somehow you connected the two. They're not connected. Have you ever had a long to-do list and not ate over it?
Yes.
That's how we know they're not connected, or every single time you would overeat. Okay. I just want you to have some clarity around, like, when you're thinking about why is this happening, you cannot allow yourself to say it's because of my life. Because if you allow yourself to go there, then you're back to square one on trying to fix your life and control your life and everything that's going on in your life in order for you not to be an overeater, rather than I just need to be able to have urges even when life's happening. So why do you think they're back?
I just chose to let one happen, and I just chose to respond to the urge over and over again.
Yeah, because once you respond to one, your brain's like, ooh. Like, I remember this behavior. We haven't been doing it in a while, but I remember it being a party. Just don't have high expectations of your brain to be like, you know, when you decide to binge on sugar, for it to understand that that's not helpful. It's just going to be like, oh yeah, we're back to that. And that's
It's just like, I'm not even having the pause anymore. Because I've been responding to the urge.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were allowing the urge, you wouldn't be eating because of it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So here's what I want to think about. One is, in order for you to continue to plan and to do all the things that you did when you lost weight, the first thing you have to do is quit beating yourself up over that this is happening.
Okay.
And that, is there any kind of thoughts in your head, like it's going to be hard to restart? What is going on about, like, what is it going to take? Like, you just need to lose 7 pounds and you're in maintenance, right?
I have 15 more I want to lose after that.
So 15 plus 7 is what, 22 total pounds?
Yeah.
Okay. So all you want to do is lose 22 pounds. You've lost a fuck ton. What is your brain saying about losing those 22? Like, way down in there, what is it saying?
Like, I'm going to have to give up all the foods that I love to get there, which obviously I know I don't. But that's kind of the first thought is like, when I talk about the last 15 pounds, it's like, I got to give up more.
Why do you believe that is the question?
I don't know. I think I believe it because I'm not very good at planning exceptions because I like to be perfect. And so it feels like because I'm not planning those exceptions, I'm not getting to eat some of the foods that I really enjoy.
Do you know that you need to like kind of just reframe that a little bit? I'm not planning exceptions and I'm choosing to not have exceptions rather than I'm not getting to eat the foods that it sounds as if it's happening to you versus, yeah, I got to learn how to have exceptions now. I kind of waited to the last minute, but I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because when you think you're not able to have them, like I'm not getting these, now you're not having exceptions, you're having binges.
Okay.
Like, tell me literally, like 22 pounds. It's very obvious what has to happen in order for you to lose 22 pounds.
Like, I definitely got to reframe, like, my mindset. I mean, that's the huge thing to lose 22 pounds.
No. Huge thing. I want you to, you're so desperate for this to be hard. This is why I keep asking you this question, because your brain is locked into 22 pounds is going to be hard. I got to give shit up. I can't be having my sugar. I'm probably going to have to not eat the things I love. You know, I don't think I can do these exceptions. You know, did you not do exceptions all the way down?
No, I did exceptions. I just didn't do them like once a week.
Why?
I didn't crave them. I didn't want anything that was off my plan.
Why?
I didn't think I needed them.
We don't have exceptions because we need them. And that's going to be key for you to see why it's coming up now. Okay. I think now you think you need exceptions, but you can't have exceptions because you want to lose this 22 pounds. And 7 of those are pounds you've already lost. You regain that by binging. Like, you see how
It's
very convoluted in your head right now? And none of that's true. That is just the panic attack story that you're telling about everything. So what do you, like, literally, if we were going to make this the easiest 22 pounds you lost from the entire time? Because this is what cracks me up. Y'all always think the last 20 is the hardest. I'm like, no, fuck no. It's the first 20 because you didn't know what to do then.
Yeah.
You're all in panic. You'd never be able to do it. Now you're just like, no, it's the last 20. I'm just telling you. Everybody's always like got a chunk of weight somewhere in there that feels like this is my Himalayan mountain I'm going to climb. All right, let's just pretend we're going to make it easy. What are we doing?
Okay, 4 basics and thought downloads.
Yeah, you doing that right now? You doing the basics?
I've missed 3 days. I've not been doing the basics, especially sleep. That's one that I've been severely neglecting, and obviously eating 2 to 2.
Why are you neglecting your sleep?
I've been working a lot.
Well, go ahead and work a lot, but can't you still get 7 hours of sleep?
I can make it a priority too. I just haven't made it a priority.
Right. What's 24 minus 7? I know you're smart. Way smarter than me to do that kind of math out loud.
Like 17 or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So are you working 17-hour days?
No.
Okay. So we know we can get 7 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
This is why math's always important. I want you to, like, and you caught yourself. I'm not making it a priority. Get your 7 hours of sleep. Don't blame your job. Has its own set of stuff that you need to deal with. You've got some thought work to be doing around your job right now. I don't know what's going on there, but you're allowing whatever you're not working on around your job. This is what I see very often. If your job right now is stressing you out and your job, like if you're making it mean, like you said, you're a perfectionist. If you're making it mean, like you fuck up, you're going to lose your job. If any of that kind of
bullshit. Yeah, that's my number one thought. If I fuck up, I'm going to lose my job all the time.
So then what happens is rather than working on that and relieving some pressure there and being realistic and just being like, well, this might be the season where it is stressful in my job, whatever that is, what you do is you create a problem somewhere else. So you can blow up over here and that's an easy distraction. Because most people would rather be worried about their weight. Because they're used to worrying about their weight, they'd rather be struggling with their weight and stuff than worrying that they're going to lose their job and their cash. It's a bigger ruin scenario over there. So we avoid that with just creating a napalm bomb over here in our weight loss.
Yep, I need to work on that then.
Yeah. 7 hours of sleep, drink the water. Get back to your basics. You know exactly what to do. And you need to tell yourself, I know exactly what to do. Right now, it's just going to feel hard. And this is what I want you to tell yourself. It's only going to feel hard because I'm scared. It's not because it is hard. Because if you believe that you're not going to be able to do it, if you start allowing yourself all those crazy ass thoughts, then every time you do a 24-hour plan, it's going to tap on insecurity. You just tell yourself, it's only scary because it feels scary. It's got to be something I'm thinking. It's not because it is.
Okay.
Tell me what else is going on because I can't leave you like on the brink of just shit. You look terrible, honey. just going to be honest.
It's just work. I've been stressing out about it a lot. A month ago, they let go of someone. So I've taken on and jumped in on a lot of stuff. And I just worry that I'm not doing a good job, a good enough job. And I've been trying to combat that by doing thought downloads. But just feeling very insecure and having a lot of anxiety about it.
And it's coming from what?
Like coming from my thoughts. There's no
which good. Ones? Worry is your action line. I want to know what your thoughts are.
Yeah. That I'm not doing my job. And even though I'm working, I'm not getting my job done. And like my job duties, like job description stuff, that what I'm doing is too little, too late. It'll never be enough.
Has anybody communicated that you're doing a bad job right now? Or is this just all internal?
It's all in my head.
Okay. And that what is your boss and everybody saying? Like what are the circumstances there?
That I'm doing a good job. They know that I have a lot on my plate, that they're willing to help me if I ask for help.
And why are you not just taking them at their word? Why are you creating like this faux scenario?
I think that I'm pulling up stuff from my past about people getting like evidence that from my brain is pulling up evidence from the past of other people getting fired when they didn't expect it. And that's really it.
Well, here's the thing. You right now worrying about that happening. This is the funny
thing.
It's
making me do a worse job.
Yeah. Well, it's worrying about it. That it's making you miserable. It's like, this is the funniest thing. It's reminding me of when people got fired and they didn't expect it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit around and anticipate getting fired until it happens. Or it doesn't happen and I just sit around in anticipation of getting fired. rather than just sitting around doing my damn job to the best of my ability and believing what I'm hearing outside of my brain. I would just tell myself right now, I can't rely on my own brain.
Okay.
It's just throwing up all kinds of illogical shit. That's okay. You'll know when it's throwing up illogical shit, when you're crying and you're worrying. The good news is you have very clear signals of when things are going wrong in your brain. That's the signal to redirect. Okay. You do not need to blow smoke up your ass, but you can easily say, I have no proof that anything's going wrong. I mean, that's it.
Okay.
And your likelihood of getting, how many people have worked there? Let's just pretend those people that had no clue they were getting fired. Was it because they were in such self-awareness, or were they not doing a good job, or what went on with them?
I think there were signals for them and they just didn't like realize it. Like people had meetings with them about how to improve and things like that. And they just thought they were doing a great job.
So their problem wasn't that, girl, they probably knew. You know what they probably were? I am marking time until they throw my ass out. I'm going to get every paycheck I can. So you have, like, this is what you need to tell your brain. All those people, they did know it was coming. They were told it was coming. They just don't know how to listen. And now it's like, you're listening to the wrong damn person. You need to be listening to your boss. He's like saying, oh no, it's not coming. You're doing a great job. Let us know if you even need help. We can't lose you. Like, allow yourself to be in reality, okay. Not in Sarah's reality. Sarah's reality is worried. Yes, yes. Like Sarah's reality is used to perfectionism and being hard on herself and stuff. We need to practice a new reality, which is, I bring it back to the facts. Don't be looking like, I know you do your TDLs. Do not be looking for Freudian type scenarios.
Okay.
Be real clear. Like, this is not complicated. I'm worried for nothing is a really good thought.
Okay.
My boss says, if I need help, ask. My thought is, that's a sure sign they know how hard I'm working. Like, I need you to just stick in the circumstances. Okay. Be real clear on your circumstance line and find as many as you possibly can. Okay.
Okay.
That is going to help you with the weight loss. If you're ginning up all this stress and everything over here and you're not able to clean it up, you're probably just going back to your old tools. The old tools are to be out of control over here, to feel like you're in control over here.
Okay.
Basic. You have an accountability partner? Who is it?
Jamie. She was at camp too with me.
Okay.
I met her at camp.
Do you need more than just one?
Probably.
You think?
Okay. Find some new accountability people.
How is Jamie doing? Is she like on top of things 100,000%, or are both of you kind of like, woo?
I think she's probably a little bit more on top of me.
Good.
On the basics.
I'm not asking you like, she's right here. It's like, Jamie, I'm not asking her to throw you under the bus. Like, no, I want you to rat Jamie out now. No, I just want to make sure that you guys don't need a third. Sometimes when it's two people, if one is really struggling, the other one either like doesn't know what to say or could just use a third opinion or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I think I could use another voice in my head, like another person.
Very often that's what needs to happen.
Okay.
And the other thing is when it comes to like, you know, Jamie, is that she may be giving you the ideas. Maybe you just need some, like she could use a ride or die with her to help you. So maybe we reach out for one more person.
Okay.
Is anybody on the call now that feels like really good at like they understand how to be a good partner when it comes to, it's probably, we need somebody in this group with work stress. Go ahead.
I feel like I need someone that wants to like ride my ass and not be mean, but really hold me accountable and ask for pictures of my plans. And
so not be me. Anyone who is not me wants to do it. All right. So Tracy B has volunteered. So we're going to add her to y'all's group. Here's the thing, Sarah. Do not let your job become your big ass problem so that you've got to create other problems to take the focus off of it. You've done too much work on yourself. This is just where you're hitting that, like what we call the upper limit. The next version of you is right there. You're going to be able to do it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And have some good cross sessions with Tracy and what was it? Jamie.
Jamie. Yeah.
They'll love that.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I just need, I don't even like to hug and I feel like I needed to hug somebody. All right. Got Sarah done. Vivian, you're next. Y'all, my nose is so itching. We have so much pollen and shit here. It's unreal. Hello. Oh, shoot. The unmute didn't work. All right. Let me do the unmute and let's see if it helps. For some reason, it's not unmute. Oh, there we go. Try talking now.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it. All right. Awesome.
So, I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Oh. Let me just tell you. Within the first minute, all that cortisol burns off and you start getting into a roll. So just know that for the next minute, you're going to feel like shit while you talk. But go ahead. Okay. What are we coaching on?
All right. I joined in April, but you might as well not count that because then I went on vacation and just ate everything under the sun.
Okay.
So I started back in May and I've lost 14.5 pounds in May. I did my little...
Well, you come back with a vengeance. That's awesome.
My biggest problem originally was overeat. Mm. And I tried to blame it on every day when I got home from school, Grandma had a meal cooked, not just a snack, but a meal. And then late at night, we were eating. So I tried to blame it on everything. And then I was listening to you and I decided that, no, it's just a habit.
Right.
So I kind of stopped. I stopped eating when I get home, but I still have a tendency to overeat. Now, I've had the gastric sleeve. I had it in 2014.
Okay.
And I had to learn through that after I started gaining weight. I lost over, like, I was 364. I lost 200. And then I gained back to 257 when I started with you.
Okay.
And I had to mourn the loss of overeating. Like, my friend Nancy overeats, and I remember one day being at her house, and she had this huge plate. Half of it was rice and gravy, which I don't even like. And then the other half was chicken, and that's not that. It was baked chicken. But in a way, I mourned that I couldn't eat that, even though I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I struggle with the overeat.
Well, so I want you to quit saying I struggle with overeats. Here's what I want you to frame it up. Sometimes I overeat. Like, God, y'all gonna have to watch how you talk about stuff. Tell me how, yeah, like, just always know that anything you say, I struggle with, your brain automatically says, all right, so the next time you want to do that, I need to throw up anxiety.
Because well, I think it's, struggle it's with it. I'm trying to, I guess, trying to tell you, because I feel like what I did, because I kept overeating, and I would do the, I have 13 recovery sheets.
Yeah.
And my answer always was because it tasted good. I mean, yeah. I really didn't find anything more than that.
Well, here's, so, I'll tell you something surprising. It's rare that anybody overeats on kale. Nobody ever comes to me and says, like, I was eating this terrible meal. I was retching all the way, but I overate anyway. It always tastes good. That's usually like, that is the thought that we all need to be aware of, because the moment we start thinking it tastes so good, it tastes good, we need to say like, yeah, it does, but we can still stop.
Right.
Even if it tastes good.
Well, I made some I kept making level ups. And now as a gastric sleeve patient, we're supposed to eat protein first, mm-hmm. then vegetables. And if you have room, you can have carbs. So I went 2 weeks ago, and I went to eating every 3 to 3.5 hours, whether I was hungry or not. Okay. And I ate my protein and vegetables.
Okay.
And so the 2 weeks prior in the month, I was losing like 1 to 1.3 pounds a week.
Okay.
So I switched and did that. I lost 3. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I'm not hungry. Why am I eating? So So I did the protein, no carbs last week, and there was like 4 days that I didn't eat all my meals because I just wasn't hungry. And yeah. I lost 4.3 pounds. So I think, and I just wrote it down because you always say, what are we coaching on? And I wrote down, I guess I need somebody to tell me what to eat and when to eat. It seems like I can't answer it for myself.
You are answering it for yourself. What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I guess I did.
You have someone to tell you. It's called you.
Yeah. I'm doing better at talking to myself, I promise, because Monday, we had to put our baby down. Well, she was 15, and I had to put her down, and my wife's a travel nurse, so she's in Colorado, so I had to do it by myself, and I wanted to eat so bad, but I didn't. I was just sad, and then yesterday, I had to run a bajillion errands, so I didn't get to eat when I normally would have ate, and I used to would have stopped at a convenience store or drive-thru and got Lord knows what, but I didn't.
So let me ask you this. Do you think you have a problem, or do you think you are just going through and noticing the things that you're correcting? So far, I ain't found a problem yet. There's only one problem. I have found one problem. It's easy, though.
I don't know. I just think I want to make sure I'm doing it with the right thing.
Bless you, my child, you are.
I'm tired of this struggle with my weight that I've had forever, and then you have surgery and you think, oh, that's going to fix it. They don't tell you that it's not. It doesn't fix what's in between your ears.
Right. Well, and that's what you're fixing now. And you know how you're fixing it? You can tell because you're questioning things. But what I want you to do is to not need me to tell you you're doing it right. I need you to trust that you can take your own advice. And if for some reason, I could tell you all kinds of shit to do, Vivian. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what's funny. If you trust me, let's say that we're going to work together for a month and I'm going to lay out all your meals and I'm going to tell you exactly what to eat and when to do it. And all you got to do is follow it. There will still be weeks you don't lose weight. And I'll be like, oh shit, that didn't work. So let's try this. And you'll be like, okay. And you won't sit there and think, oh my God, Corinne must be an idiot. She's never going to get this right. I just don't know. Like, y'all wouldn't do that. You'd be so like, I trust you.
Right.
Even if I'm experimenting and don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
Which is always the case.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that thinks, you know, well, I don't think it anymore. I'm trying not to. That I'm stupid, you know, and I don't know anything and I'm not good enough and I'm not this and I'm not that.
Yeah. That's your work. Yeah, that's your work, because once you clean up that, once you start showing yourself, you know what you're doing, that you know how to experiment, you know how to figure things out, you know how to listen, you know how to notice your patterns, you know how to see when something's working and when something's not. I mean, all you did was describe to me that you came off vacation and figured it out.
Yeah.
The only two things I wanted to point out to you is quit referring to everything. This is like what's happening to Sarah. You got to quit referring to everything as a struggle and hard and all this other stuff. How you describe weight loss is everything. Okay. You need to be describing it as to what you want the experience to be like. Like, I'm figuring out. I mean, I want you to think about when I lost 100 pounds. What is it that you hear all the time? The theme of my weight loss.
Well, it was a journey and you had to figure things out.
I was going to figure it out no matter what, that I was going to figure out how to like the process. I was like, every time I would catch myself beating myself up, I'm like, not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I would think about like, how does someone who believes in themselves think and talk to themselves? And I would just do it whether I believed it or not. Because I knew that if I kept doing it the way I was doing it, it was going to suck for me. And it always sucked for me. So there's no sense in doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's like y'all watching how you describe things. You can either create this into a big dramatic event, which makes, like, even if you're going to lose all your weight, like, do you want to lose it struggling and martyring and stuff? Or do you want to lose it believing in yourself? Believing in yourself, looking forward to it, challenging yourself, surprising yourself. That's such a better way to lose weight than to be like, you know, it's going to suck some ass. Like, there are parts that will suck ass. We just don't have to think about it ahead of time.
Okay.
That was one thing. And then the other is this idea of that wanting someone else just to tell you what to do. You do not need that ever. It is very disempowering. If you always think, if you think someone else has better knowledge than your own self, then you will always have to pay someone, even in maintenance, because you'll never learn how to trust yourself.
You should see me try to make a decision about what pot to buy. I mean,
it's just buy one. I'm just going to tell you, like, here's two options. Pick one and buy it. Allow yourself 10 whole seconds, 20 if you want to read the descriptions, or flip a coin. One time, Chris and I decided on moving based on a coin flip. Oh, no. We were driving down the road, and I was like, I'm so tired of us thinking about if we're going to move or not. And I was like, by the time we get home, a decision's going to be made. And once we make the decision, we're either staying in this house or we're packing up and finding a new one. And we ended up flipping a coin. Whatever the coin said is what we did. And we stayed in that house 2 more years.
Yeah, I guess like you say, if I make the decision and it's wrong, I'm not going to die or get pregnant.
No, especially if it's a pot. Can you imagine, like, oh my God, I bought the wrong pot. I guess my financial future is over. Like, but that is what, like this pot somehow is going to lose all my weight. It's like, no, it's a pot. It'll either boil water or it won't.
Yeah. Okay. I don't do thought downloads. I don't think I really understand them, but I do recovery sheets. And
the recovery sheet is a guided thought download. So okay. You do understand them. A thought download is just where you don't have questions now. You're just going to write what's actually going on in your head. This whole conversation has been a thought download orally.
Okay.
You've told me what you're thinking about things. That's all that a thought download is.
Okay.
Just watch the module over again.
Yeah, and I'm doing better. I really am doing better on talking to myself and trying not to be so mean to myself.
Oh, I can tell you are. And here's how I know. Several times you caught yourself saying things and you said, and I'm trying not to think that anymore. Like, I can always tell when somebody's doing the work because they're auto-correcting. Like, the old stuff wants to come out and the brain's like, oh no, like that's that shit we said we wouldn't say. And then we're auto-correcting. As long as you are in auto-correction mode, I know you're working on it. So you're
done. Okay.
All right, Missy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. I meant to ask her where she's from. Somebody said they loved your voice, Missy. Or was it Missy? No. Was it? I think it was Vivian. Let's see. Laura Massey. We're cooking with the gas today, y'all. Cooking with the gas.
Hello.
Well, hello.
All right. This is interesting because I was just at the Don't Stop Believing right
now. I know. I was going to say, like, no time, no see.
I can finally walk down the hall again. I was thinking the last couple of days because I got the notification from Betsy. And I think what I had written in on, I kind of did some work on during the coaching session at the camp. And so now I'm not really sure whether I'm, like, creating a problem to focus on or whether it's something legitimate. So
let's put it this way.
Okay.
All problems are created.
Oh, okay, that's a good point.
That's right. Make a problem you're creating for yourself.
Okay. So I guess all of my questions to you guys have always been about work. And, you know, obviously that's not the only part of life that I'd like to work on in the long run. But I think I've found these small stumbling blocks that I can focus on, like, how do I become more organized? How do I time block better? How do I publish more papers? Whatever these things are. And then I was at the race and I didn't want to set my goal too high. So I planned to do the 10K and then Kathy kind of gave me some encouragement. So I did the half and I did it. Like, wow. And I finished it and I ran it most, you know, like almost 3/4 of it. And so that was probably stupid because I can just finally walk again today. But I realized that I kind of missed the challenge. And so I'm finishing my residency. Like, it was a huge challenge to get into it. It was a huge challenge to get acclimated to it. And then the last kind of like 2 or 3 years, I feel like I really hit my stride in it. And so the challenges that I have for myself, I realized I don't feel that challenged by. And I think that's not why I'm not that interested in doing them, you know, like it was hard to think about doing the race. And so I'm wondering, like, I was listening to Brooke's podcast about like impossible goals, and like the example she always uses is her business, which is great, but like, I don't have a business. So I was just trying to think of like, what is that? Is that a bullshit model that I need harder goals to like have myself be engaged and interested in my life? Or like,
you can decide to be interested in, you know, the real skill right. is to learn how to be engaged and interested in anything.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that is a truly impossible goal because most of us, you know, love it when it's shiny and new. We love it when it's like big ass and exciting and the adrenaline of signing up for something.
Right.
But it really is a testament to, are you doing your own work around like, you know what? I just said I would do it no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it and not need it to be fanfare.
Okay.
Like, if you want to create fanfare, it has to be fanfare in your mind.
Okay.
So what is it? Like, what is your goal right now? Do you have one? Did you pick one for the 90?
Yeah, my 90. Well, so I'm graduating on the 21st. So I got to get all these projects that I was talking to you about last time done before then, which is probably impossible. So that should actually gin up all of that adrenaline for me. But then I wanted to hit Wonderland before camp was like my 90 day goal.
Are you coming back? So you're coming back in October. And how far are you from Wonderland?
16 pounds.
16 pounds? 17.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you right now, you can finish all your products by June 21st and make that goal.
Okay.
Does that feel impossible?
No, which is why I'm kind of like.
Okay. Then be 195.
Okay.
I mean, you want to make it impossible. All you got to do is like lose more weight. That's all you got to do. Just keep ratcheting your number up. But is that really what you need? Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
For you, if you're an adrenaline goal junkie, like you have two options. There's literally like you are creating a problem, but I'm just saying this. You have two options. You can set a really hard goal and just be like, not only am I going to lose like 25 pounds before in the next 90 days. I mean, what would 90 days? I mean, that would be 25 would be aggressive because how much weight you got to lose?
Well, so I set maybe a crazy goal because I thought I was 245 and I thought if I did 100 pounds, but that's probably not even a healthy weight for.
How tall are you?
5'10". 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like one.
Well, it's not that it's unhealthy, but that would be your lower range.
I've never been below 175, so anything below that would be totally foreign and new.
Well, here's what I would do. I would make your 90-day goal aggressive enough that you feel excited to be working on it, or. Okay. I wouldn't make it super aggressive, and you teach yourself how to just do shit you said you wanted to do without excitement. I think the way to get excited about that is to be like, I never do that. Like, that's not what I normally do. I'm usually looking for something crazy on the horizon in order to get me motivated. Right. And now I'm just going to be motivated because I said I would do it.
Okay.
And like, I'm going to focus on the work that's required to get there. Cause this is what happens with a lot of like adrenaline junkies. We let the goal drive us. Okay. Now, that's not to say that's bad, but if you always have to have a big ass goal, eventually you're going to be in a season of life where, you know, you have kids and whatnot, you can't rely on those. So you want to build the skill of just being able to achieve things that you can do while also having life going on.
Okay.
You get to decide how to look at it, but just decide what you want to practice the most. You want to practice like being all in, prioritizing, going for something big and all that kind of stuff, do it. If you want to prioritize like, no, you know what? This is the time I actually want to do things in a way that's going to force me to feel bored, force me to feel these things, and I'm going to do it anyway.
And I think that would be the more impossible goal because a lot of times I feel like I depend on that adrenaline and I get things done just barely or like, you know, submitted right at the last moment. And it's like, it's in there and it's technically all the steps are done, but like none of them are mastered, you know? And so actually.
So let me ask you this. If you were going to lose, let's say I made you like, say you had to lose 25 or 30 pounds to come mm-hmm. to. Would you right. spread it out, or do you think you'd be the kind of person who, like, at the last minute was suddenly exercising every day, fasting? like, what would you do?
Well, I mean, I'd probably, like, start plodding along and not get close enough and then do that stuff at the end to get to the number. You know what I mean? Like, I'd probably lose 10 over 2 months and then try to lose 20 in the last month, which is not healthy.
So, it's not even that it's not healthy. Like, it's not. But let's put it this way. What is the result you end up? You don't really end up with the result of weight loss.
Right.
You kind of get that result. But there's a secret line in the model that we don't talk about hardly ever. Okay. It's called the effect line, which is right below the result. So technically, you do the work, but the effect. Yeah. is you teach yourself how to lose weight with a struggle. You teach yourself how to lose weight with tricks and gimmicks. You don't really teach yourself how to actually lose it the way you intend to keep it off.
Right.
And that's the unintended effect of, oh, I got there, but like an asshole.
That's the same thing, because with, like, submitting articles, it'll be like, I submitted it, but I have no fucking idea what I wrote or what it says. Yeah. And then I'm like trying to go
through. I think you need a nice, boring, sustainable weight loss goal. And your challenge, your true goal is you need to figure out, like, how much weight you need to lose per week. Mm-hmm. And that no matter what, you're never allowed to do tricks and gimmicks.
Okay.
To get that result, it has got to be like, no, it has to be this way. It has to be because I'm doing the program as it's written. Okay. It's not because I'm just an overachiever and I always get things done, even if I do it in a way that teaches me terrible habits.
Right.
Don't sacrifice yourself for a goal. It's not worth it.
Okay.
You don't learn anything.
Ooh. No.
Somebody just said, wow, what a concept. Do the program as written. I know. Sometimes I'm just like,
thank you, Merle.
Master of the words. Okay, Lee.
No, I think that would be the harder lesson, but that's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye. See you in October.
See ya. Okay. Cindy, if you signed up for coaching, make sure you raise your hand. If you did not sign up for coaching, make sure you lower the hand. Lower that hand.
Hello.
Hey, Cindy. Oops. Wait a minute. I'm unmuting you. I think we're both doing it at the same time. Hang on. It came on, then it went back off.
All right.
We got it. Yes.
Okay. So this is so funny. I literally just got out of bed, and I thought this call was at noon today. So I just feel like my world has been turned upside down in 24 hours, and everything kind of has changed since I wrote my question to you.
What happened?
Well, we put my mom on hospice yesterday, so I might get emotional because this is really new for me. Yesterday, I got up at 4 a.m. and I wrote a series of questions because my mom had fired her caregiver, and all right, calm down. She lives about 2 hours from me, and my sister and I are, we are responsible for her care, and it's a difficult relationship. She's not a monster. My mom is, she loves me as she can. She's a narcissistic, demanding, ungrateful, all of those words, but in addition to that, she can be loving, and she's a good grandma, and she has loved me and supported me my whole life, so I'm a mess this morning.
It's okay. You're entitled to be a mess.
So my goal is to honor my mom, you know, throughout her final days. And I've done this before with my dad. I put my dad on hospice. So I feel like when I wrote you the question about my mom, how to get through this with, I guess, when I was helping to care for my dad through the hospice process, I really felt like I gave 100%. Mm-hmm. And now I know we're going through this again. And I don't know, I didn't know that I had it in me when I wrote the question to you. I didn't know that I had it in me. And my concern was, how do I get through this process with self-care? how do I provide that for me first and then take care of business?
Okay, so give me some ideas on that. Is that what you still want to get coached on?
I don't know. I feel like I've just got this bunch of soup in my head. There's so many things that I'm learning through this process. So I did get up yesterday at about 4 a.m. and I wrote this list of questions, you know, to ask mom, like, why the change? Why do you need it? Why do you want to go to a nursing home now? Why don't you want to be in your home with your 24-hour caregiver who's been with her for 6 years? And I got to her house yesterday and I took one look at her and she's declined so rapidly and she's bruised and she's just this very frail woman who she's never been that ever in my life. And I thought, well, hell, these questions don't mean a hill of beans. Like, there's not a one of them that's even appropriate.
Right.
So yesterday was just kind of all about taking care of business. My sister went with me. She was helping mom to pay her bills. And I took my daughter out to get some money from the bank for mom. And I said, we're going to mom's doctor and I'm going to ask for a hospice referral.
Okay.
That wasn't our intent. So we did that. So we found a lovely, like all the stars collided. People have been so good to us. And we got a fabulous hospice referral. They came last night at 5, so they left at about 9 o'clock. And my mom's about a 2-hour drive. That's why I'm just now getting out of bed, because we didn't get home until.
It's fine, but what is the problem? Because you're going to feel sad.
Yeah,
we know that.
I'm okay with that. Like yesterday, I did a download. My problem initially was, I don't feel the same way about my mom as I did with my dad. So I don't feel the same level of commitment to my mom as I did with my dad. But that all changed yesterday when I saw how debilitated she is, how helpless she is. Like, that's not even a question anymore. So I guess what I'd like to talk to you about today is, I know what's ahead of me, and I know it's a crap ton of work, and it's hard, and it's demanding, and it's emotional. How do I protect myself? How do I not lose myself in this process the way I did before? Because I want to honor her. I want her to be comfortable. I want her final days could be, you know, she could be on hospice for the next 6 months. I don't know. But I don't expect that my mom will live past this year.
Well, here's the thing. You're not going to be able to predict. No matter what, your brain wants to try to figure this out. Your brain is just trying to figure out all of this. There's certain things that are worth trying to figure out. There's certain things that aren't worth trying to figure out. Like, how long this is going to last is not one of them. There's only one person in the world who knows that, and they're not even in the world. So we just have to be like, unless God's going to come down and be like, it's going to be like 72 days. you know, and then you could plan accordingly, but that's not going to happen. But here's how you don't lose yourself. You think losing yourself is a product of what's going to happen. Losing yourself is allowing yourself to be lost in it.
See, I feel like I create these stories in my head. This is what's going to
happen. We all do.
You know, things, this is going to go this way. And I won't know until I get there. So I guess because there's so much uncertainty in that process, I have to rely on medical professionals. I have to rely on, you know, mom's health. It is what it is.
What can you be certain of is the question. Your brain wants to go to all, like, here's all the things that are going to be uncertain. Here's the one thing you can be certain of. I figured it out with my dad. I'll figure it out with this one. Like, you were just certain you were going to ask your mom all kinds of bullshit questions. Guess what you did? You got there and you figured that out real quick. What was important in that moment?
And you know what? We were in the parking lot at the bank and I was crying a little bit. My daughter's 21. She was with me and she turned around and she hugged me. She said, are you okay, mama? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, this is me breaking down right now. I said, but what I want you to notice too is that it's me moving forward and we're going to get this done. It may not look pretty, but the end result is going to be good. And it's going to be good for her mom.
Not only in that moment did you figure out how to cry and just show your emotion, you also figured out how to teach your daughter a very valuable lesson that it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're pretty good at this.
I don't know about that.
This is what I need you to believe, though. The difference is, I believe you're good at it. which means that I'm seeing things that you're refusing to see because you're so determined you're not good at it and that you're going to lose yourself in it, that you're trying to find evidence of that.
Okay.
That feels bad.
It does.
That's how you lose yourself. If you look for the opportunities where that's happening, I think you've got to decide, I cannot predict how this one's going to go. I'm not going to predict how this one's going to go. The best way to not lose yourself is to really understand that you have your own back.
Okay.
And that means not allowing yourself to think like, I'm at the effect of all these doctors and stuff. It's like, no, every single thing's a choice. What you decided to say or not say to your mom yesterday was a choice Cindy made. It was also your choice to go and get the hospice lined up. It wasn't that all things came into alignment. You know what happened? You made a decision to go line up hospice. You made things come into alignment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I know today, like, she's getting a new bed delivered and a new wheelchair and a new shower chair. And, like, she's going to be so much more comfortable tonight than she was last night.
Yeah.
So, within 24 hours, things are just shifting.
Well, so, it's not even the things. I want you to see, like, one of the goals that you had set, like, you, in order for you not to lose yourself, you need to do daily work on how you're showing up for you and your mom. Not a shit show. Your brain is going to want to go to, this is all a shit show, and here's why. It would rather focus on the problems so it doesn't have to focus on feeling bad that you're losing your mother. Mm-hmm. It would much rather beat you up, and it would much rather make this, like, all this other shit, because that can be a healthy distraction to just being like, I'm losing my mother. I'm losing my last parent.
Yeah, and I'm not real good at feeling feelings. I've always, you know, I always just tamp them down. It's like, walk it off, just get stuff done. I'm a problem solver. I've always been, I see myself as that. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And it comes in very handy, but yeah, I can't continue to do that at my own risk. I can't solve other people's problems. There comes a time, like I hear you say all the time, what's wrong with just sitting down and feeling your feelings? What's wrong with just sitting down and crying?
Yeah.
I think I have to do that. And why not do it while I'm being recorded and thousands of people can see me? So anyway, we have a long way to go, but I just know that I need to help myself first. Yeah. And I don't want to put on weight through this process because I'm eating to buffer. And I listened to your program on urges the other day, and that was really helpful just to understand that that's just something that my brain is thinking. So one of the things that I noticed yesterday is we had no time to eat. We had no time to do anything. And we'd stopped at like Del Taco for lunch and for dinner. And that's all I ate yesterday, but I didn't overeat at Del Taco. And I kept thinking, you know what, this is probably like what real people do, what normal people, normal eaters do, right? We have no time to eat. We have 10 seconds. We're not going to be able to prepare a healthy meal. It's not a big deal. And food was not the focus of yesterday. And it really drove home to me, like, how much time I spend worrying about how tight my pants are. What am I going to eat? Oh my gosh, what if I can't eat the what's on my 24-hour plan today? Something's going haywire. And it, like I said, it just drove home, like, there's so many bigger issues in life than how fat we are or how much we're eating, or, you know, so I just feel like I'm learning so many things all at once and I'm having to feel all these feelings at the same time. But the good thing is that from the time I wrote my question to you, which was more kind of about how I'm going to provide care for somebody that I don't feel close to, that's no longer an issue anymore, because now I can just view her as, here's a 91-year-old woman who is bedbound, who literally cannot get out of bed now. And this is...
Let me ask you this. Do you feel close to her now?
As close as I think I ever will, yes. As close as I ever will.
Being close to someone is all in your own head, right? It's not a matter of what they do or do not do.
Well, I think I've had to understand that good is good enough when it comes to our relationship. I love my mom. I will honor my mom. I will always do right by her. Yeah. And I think she would do the same for me too. My mom has always been one of those me first, then you kind of people. And that's okay, because you know, I know some of my mom's background, and I know that she's had, you know, she's had her own issues in childhood, and she unfortunately did not have somebody like you, did not have somebody to carry her through that thought process of, we can change our thoughts. We can change our world when we change our thoughts.
I want everyone to hear what she just said. Up until about 3 to 4 years ago, no one got this kind of training.
Yeah.
This was not something, like, this is not a just that generation thing. Like, they did the best they could based upon how they were raised. And like, you go back 100 years, the motto was children should be seen and not heard.
I grew up with that.
Yeah. Like, we need to quit like having a pity party that we didn't have some Gen X parent.
Yeah.
They were never exposed to that stuff. To them, that was good parenting.
Right.
That's what a good parent did. They didn't want to teach you to be like a mouthy bastard.
Right. Right.
You know, like, but we get all up in our head, like, it should have been different. It's like, no, it's what made us who we are today.
Well, let me give you an example. Cause I did a model yesterday before I went to mom's house. And my model was, the circumstance was, mom's health is declining. And it is. There's nobody who can deny that. And my thought, my unintentional thought is, great, all the responsibility is on me, all this work, I've got, like, you know, months and months and months of medical, hospitals, all the bills, blah, blah, blah. How did that make me feel? It made me feel frustrated, and it made me have a lot of anxiety. And what happens? Then I get snippy with my mom. I start, you know, snapping back at her, and I get frustrated. And what do? We get in a fight, and then I regret it later. That has been my pattern all along.
The result is I take no responsibility for myself.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So my new model was, her health is declining. My thought is, she must be so scared. That's my thought for her. And then the feeling then is compassion for her. And the action is, I have room in my heart to allow her to talk and to tell me what she's going through. And I can really hear her. And then I have a deeper understanding of what she's going through and her thoughts. So I just think thought work is so crucial for me as I go through this whole process of, when I find myself, when I recognize myself getting caught up in, you know, the little incidentals.
It's going to be everything. Cause the one thing you asked about is like, how do I not lose myself? How do I care for myself? And the whole time, it's not going to be having private time. It's none of that. It's going to be in the small moments. I mean, in the hours when you're going to want to let your brain run wild and not doing that. Now, I'm going to tell you, Cindy, it's going to be exhausting because you're going to be redirecting your brain. But in the end, you're going to feel so much better, and you're going to have such a better recollection of this whole process that you went through with your mom. Mm-hmm. You'll just be a different person. You will come out so much stronger, and you will have that closeness. Because here's the thing, you'll end up feeling closer to your mom without your unnecessary suffering getting in between y'all's relationship.
I would,
not only y'all's relationship, but the relationship you have with yourself.
Yeah. And I've always said through this process, I need to be able to look at myself in the mirror. When all is said and done, I'm the one looking at myself in the mirror. I know, I need to know I did right by her. I honored her well.
Yeah. And that's going to start with you doing the same in your own mind.
Yeah. It's so just, I listened to MJ Sheriff, who she was talking. Yeah. And she was talking about self-care and the different ideas of self-care, like, you know, putting your coffee pot on at night. It's like, sometimes I'll lay in bed and I'm like, I don't want to go downstairs and set the coffee pot. I'm like, oh my gosh. But tomorrow morning, if I do that, I get to come downstairs and just pour a cup of coffee. And that just makes me so happy. Yeah. So those moments, I really just this past week have been naming and claiming my self-care. Like, this is self-care, brushing my teeth. This is self-care. Yes. If I had time this morning to shower and get dressed, that would have been self-care.
But you're on a coaching call, and that's self-care.
Well, it was more important to me. I'm like, I don't care what I look like. I don't care any of this, because this was very important to me. I wanted to hear what you had to say about this. And you're right. It's going to be a hard process, but I think it's like being forged by fire. I think, you know, once I get through the end of this, however long that process is going to be, I think mom's going to be changed, and I think I'm going to be changed through it too. But I need to take control of that. I need to direct that focus, direct that change, as opposed to feeling like I'm in the whirlwind of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah. Every moment is a choice, you know, and you taking care of your mom is a form of self-care. It won't feel like it in the moment, but you need to remind yourself, no, this is self-care. Because one day when she's gone, I don't want to be sitting around with regret that I didn't take care of business.
Right. Right. And I thought yesterday, as it happened, when my daughter hugged me in the parking lot, I'm like, that's self-care. Mm-hmm. That was just a little moment of grace throughout the whirlwind. So,
yeah, I think so much of everything is, it's always perspective. You know, two people can go through the exact same circumstances, like just march, like if I could somehow control it, where they just both had to march down the same path. Depending on the mindset will be the different experience for each of them. One of them will come out on the other end and just be like, this is everything I learned. I became a better person. It wasn't easy, but here's all the lessons. The other person was like, thank God I got through that. That was horrible. I hope I never have to do that again. Like you, it's always perspective.
Yeah.
You got this.
Okay. I really appreciate everything you've said today. And I want to give a shout out to my Marco Polo group because I love them. Hi, guys.
I always love how everybody's like, I got to give out to my Marco Polos.
Thank you so much, Corinne. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye. I can't tell y'all how many Marco Polo groups I end up giving shout outs to at our events. It's like, girl, I got my Marco Polo group on here. Can you just like get in there? All right. Is anybody else who signed up for coaching ahead of time here? Raise your hand. Becky, I don't think we did. Nina, I'm not 100% sure everybody's name at this point. I'm already like lost my thing. If you're here, you can have it. If not, we'll get out of here. Oh, looks like we're all done. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. What is today? Wednesday? So I see the Queen's Club tonight for coaches, my office hours. That's where I do all my office hours. And then I will see you guys tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for Q&A. Bring all the urge questions. I will be answering them all. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.